We are talking about our purpose. What were you created to be? It's an exciting thing to think about, that we were put here on purpose. You know, it's not an accident like we so often hear in our world. But God had something special in mind when He made you and when He made me. And so we get to explore that, discover that, and live that out to the best of our ability. And thankfully, we have a great Heavenly Father who is committed to helping us on that journey. We need that because it's a difficult journey at times. We live in a very broken world, and things just sometimes seem like they're getting more difficult as we go. But God has promised that He's in control, and He's going to take care of it. So we're just going to trust Him with that, and we're going to think some more about it this morning. There should be an outline on the back of your bulletin, if you'd like to look at that and fill in those blanks. Let's pray together before we get started. Lord in heaven, I just thank You for this incredible privilege, Lord, that we have of holding Your word in our hands and of listening for Your voice as we read it, as we study it, as we discuss it together. Lord, as we meet together, even this morning, Lord, that is our goal. Father, You said this is Your church. You said, I will build My church. And so we just trust You, great God, to speak into our lives, Lord. Help us to discover our purpose, to get a better handle on it, I pray today. In Christ's name, amen. So as you can see on your outline, we're going to be talking about the idea this morning that you were created to be faithful. The Bible says God is faithful. And so we're created in His image. I believe we should be like Him. So I'd like to begin with a story from my own life. I know some of you have probably already heard this, but it just helps me in communicating this point. So I was driving home from work. We used to live up in Maryland, so I had a half an hour to 45-minute commute home from work, depending on how much traffic there was. And I was listening to a pastor on a cassette tape, His name was Mark Darling, and he was teaching on refocusing our lives. And he said something that made me so mad, I turned the tape off, and I could not listen to him again for a year or more. And this is what he said. Of course, I'll try to give you the context after I give you the statement. But he said, "You take the faithful, and I'll take the full of faith." In other words, he's like, if all you faithful guys who, you know, you've been trying to follow the Lord all your life and just get it done and live it out, you guys going over there, I'll take in my church the people who are full of faith. And I got so mad at him for a number of different reasons. Here's the first reason. I know the Bible says God is faithful. And I just want to read you a couple of verses. This is Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." So God is saying here He's faithful, He's made a covenant with you, and He keeps His promises. Not just during your lifetime, or not even just in 1,000 years. But for 1,000 generations, God is faithful. And so you can count on it. If He's made a covenant, which the Bible tells us very clearly that He has with you, He's going to be faithful to you. He will never break those promises. This is a verse from the New Testament, Romans chapter 3. "What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar." So this verse is saying, even though there's the possibility that every single person on the planet might end up in the end to be found a liar, God will not. He is the faithful God. You can count on Him. Amen. And I have found that to be true over and over and over again in my own life. So I know that God is faithful, And so I thought that I had this speaker dead in the water. That's good. It's a good thing for me to be a faithful person. But there was another reason that I was angry with him, and really down deep in my heart, I knew this. And this is the reason why I eventually did finish listening to the guy's message. It's because I was also angry, because even though I was faithful, at least I considered myself to be somewhat faithful, I was also fearful. I tried so hard to be faithful to God in the little things that I chose to do, but I was unwilling to do some things that God asked of me that were frightening to me. So I let my fear become bigger than my faith. And of course, that's the point that he was making. He says, I want the full of faith. I want the people who will trust God to go to the ends of the earth, and he will do whatever he asks them to do. So eventually, later on in my life, when the Lord got me past some of that, he helped me to understand that point. And so here's the point that I would like for us to take out of this morning. I sincerely believe God wants both in our lives. He wants you to be full of faith, and he wants you to be faithful. And the point that I'd like for us to explore together this morning is this. I believe that by you being full of faith is how you will become the faithful person God has created you to be. You see, we are not able to do this on our own. We started talking about this as we looked at our purpose together last week, how it's a supernatural life that God's called us to live. We talked about the incredible calling of love last week, even being able to love our enemies, even being able to love when it is hard. It's actually a supernatural life that God's called us to. You won't see it being normally lived out in the world around you. But we are called to be supernatural men and women because God is living inside of us. And so he's the one who can help you. And as you and I grow in being full of faith, we will become the faithful people God has created us to be. I believe that with all my heart. So turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to go through a little over half of this chapter together and just talk our way through this. And we're using the acrostic, the word full, to describe being full of faith. So I'll wait for a moment for you to get to Colossians 3. By the way, I just can't help but saying how much I enjoy being here with you guys and being in the Word together. I just love you guys so much. And of course, I miss the folks who are not here a lot. But you know what? We might be few in number this morning, but we're mighty in spirit, right? So thank you, Becky. Thank you. All right, so hopefully you're there, Colossians chapter 3. So the first item, if you're filling out the back of your bulletin about being full of faith, the first point is focused on Christ. The F stands for focused on Christ. Read the first couple of verses with me here. Verse 1, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Do you know this morning that you are hidden? That you are in a secret hiding place? You know, the world is kind of disintegrating, exploding around us, it almost seems like to me sometimes. It's just mind-blowing where it's headed. But you are hidden in Christ. There's a secret hiding place inside him, in him. And one day when he's revealed, you're going to be revealed as well. When the glory of Christ is revealed, you are going to be there. And so, in the meantime, he says, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, at where he's seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. So, you know, I don't know how your week's been. I've had a challenging week, discouraging week in some ways. And it's, I think a lot of it's just there's so much sickness in our church family right now. There's so much hurt and pain in our world right now, the whole Afghanistan thing, and just all the other things that keep unfolding. It's just been a challenging week. And if I think about that stuff too long, it's easy for my spirit to just kind of go, you know, it kind of feels like I'm slumping down in the chair. And, you know, these verses, it's like they say to me, like the Lord's saying, listen, sit up straight. Lift your head up. Keep your mind on Christ. He's got this thing under control. And no matter what happens, the Bible says, you are safe and secure in Him. Your future is incredible, and nothing is able to touch it or change it. Jesus very simply said that no one can take you out of your Father's hands. My Father, He said, is greater than all. No one can take you out of His hands. So keep your mind focused on Christ. Think about Peter. I love the story. I know you know the story, but I love the story of Peter. All the disciples are out in the boat, and they're having a tough time. They are straining against this storm. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. Scares the life out of them. But he didn't intend that, so he immediately says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And so you know Peter, impetuous Peter. He's like, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to walk to you on the water." And Jesus is like, "Go for it." And so Peter steps out of the boat, and for a few incredible moments, he walks on the water because he's got his eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, unfortunately, shortly, he looks down at the waves and he begins to sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. No sinking. You know, the fun thing, the other really encouraging thing about the story is as soon as Peter begins to sink, the Lord goes and grabs his hand and picks him back up. So the picture I get is that they walk together on top of the water into the boat. Isn't that cool? Arm in arm with the Savior. So keep your eyes focused on Christ. And you know, how do you do that? Well, you know, a daily habit of being in the Bible. I think reading the Gospels over and over again. The Gospels are some of my favorite books because they just tell Jesus' story. And so they'll help you keep your eyes on Him. They'll help you see how He lived His life. The rest of the New Testament is His disciples and what they've written. So they will also help you keep your eyes on Christ. And certainly the Old Testament points us to Him. It talks about how He's coming. So it is important to us as well. But make sure you have time in the Word. Make sure you get to be alone with Jesus and talk to Him every day. Keep your eyes on Him. Build a close relationship with Him. Number two on your outline, the U stands for undistracted by the world. Undistracted by the world. Look with me at begin in verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Okay, the idea there is greed, if you want things too much, money too much, it replaces God's place in your life. That's why it's idolatry, because anything that replaces Him is idolatry. Verse 6, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. In other words, we were all there at one point or another. The Bible says that we're all born with a sinful nature. So we were there. But now, verse 8, but now you also put them all aside. And he gives you a prolonged list: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. All right, so don't be distracted by the world. The devil, of course, his goal, the Bible says, is to destroy you. He wants to bring you down. He wants to tempt you. He wants to put those things back in front of you that will distract you from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's like the waves that Peter was facing. Satan's goal is if he can get you to look away from the Lord Jesus and get tempted by the world and pulled down by the world, that he's winning. That's his plan. And so don't let yourself be distracted by anything that this world has to offer. Now, it is challenging, brothers and sisters. It is a challenging thing because we are born with a sinful nature. So I don't know what the things are in your life, but I know many of them in my life. And unfortunately, the devil knows them because at just the right time, he puts them in front of us. And so we need to have a plan in place. We need to know how to be undistracted and how not to let him get us off course. It's helpful if you have a plan in place, because as soon as that situation begins to emerge, then you can take action on it and avoid something that might be a distraction to you. I don't know why, I just find this, and I've probably told you this story before, but I find this to be a helpful story. I read about this young man who became a Christian, and he had been in the world most of his life, just living like the world. But he became a Christian, and he was so excited, so had this huge weight lifted from his shoulders, and just daily trying to learn to walk with Jesus. And so this went on for, I think he had been a Christian for like a month or something, it said. And he met some of his old friends, his old partying friends, when he was out at the store. And they were like buddying up to him. "Hey, Tom, where you been, man? We have missed you, and we have got a good one happening tonight." And so somehow or another, they convinced Tom to come with them to their big party that night. You know, kind of guilt tripping him and, you know, where have you been and all this stuff. So finally they convinced Tom. He goes to the party. And there he is in the middle of all the things that he had been such a part of for so many years. And he's struggling with it. I can't remember. I think maybe he did take a drink or something. I forget what all happened. But all of a sudden, he like comes to himself. He immediately goes over to one of his friends and he says, "Harry, I gotta go. I gotta go." He says, "What? You just got here." He says, "Yeah, I know, Harry. But I have lost something. It's very precious to me, and I have to go get it back." And so he walked out that door, and immediately as he's walking up the street, he's talking to the Lord, and he's getting his relationship back with the Lord, because that's what he had lost. All of a sudden, he was back there, and he felt it was gone. All of that peace, all of that joy, all of that fellowship that he had gained with his Savior in the last month, it was slipping through his fingers. And so as he walks up the street, he's praying, "Lord, will you forgive me?" And getting that fellowship back. Don't let yourself be distracted by the world. It's tough, but that's the world's goal. That's Satan's goal. And so we have to fight against that. And these verses tell us that that's in our past. They remind us that that's in our past. But they help us see that we don't want to be there anymore. All right, look at the third item on your outline, and that is, the L stands for living like Jesus. Living like Jesus. So that really starts in verse 10, but let's go back to verse 9 so we can complete the sentence. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Verse 10, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So you have been made new in Christ. Put on that new self. And look Look what you're being made into. You're being renewed according to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him, who created you, the mighty God, maker of heaven and earth, the holy God. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but he's the one who created you, and you are being remade, it says, into his image. He's the faithful God. You're being remade into his image. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. We've got a huge issue right now with CRT in our schools. And, you know, I'm not well versed in it. But I hear it's an enormous problem. I understand it's an enormous problem. I'm trying to remember who it was I was talking to recently. Oh, yes, it was a very good friend. Kathy knows her much better than I do. But she works at a major university down in Richmond. And she says, it's terrible. They're adopting this philosophy that's promoted by CRT. And basically, if you are a white person, you are a terrible person. You are unredeemable. And so I think she's going to be leaving. She's going to be doing some things on her own now. She's been a professor. She's a tenured professor, or however you say that there. She's going to be doing some other things, but it is not a pretty picture. That's one of the things our world's struggling with, right? But look at this. In Christ, there's none of this stuff. There's none of this stuff. In this renewal, there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. We're all one in Christ. The color of your skin makes no difference to God. Your economic status makes no difference to God. The piece of planet Earth that you were born on does not matter to God. He shows no favoritism. God loves you, and in his church especially, and we know there's going to always be divisions in the world. The world's been fighting ever since there's been history books. So really what we're seeing is nothing new. I mean, it feels terrible to me. It's painful to me. But it's nothing new. But in Christ, we are united. This is who we have been created and are being recreated to be. People who love one another, who are united, who accept one another, who look past these little tiny made-up barriers. Verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Boy, I mean, we could be taking weeks and months to talk our way through these things, just the things in that verse that we just read, right? But this is what Jesus is like. This is how he lived life. And this is how he's calling us to live life. Live your life like Jesus. I just want to read those things again. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We have no excuse as Christians to be unkind to anyone. None. We sometimes are called to speak the truth. We sometimes should probably correct people in our lives, but we have no excuse to do so in an unkind fashion. It's just not permissible as far as I can tell. You know, I think of some of my own issues. I think I'm getting better at this, but telemarketers. Of course, a lot of times, I don't even answer the phone anymore now that I have this fancy cell phone. If I don't recognize the number, I'm like, well, if they leave me a message, then maybe I'll talk to them. But, you know, I used to pick up the phone all the time. And telemarketers could make me mad fast. And so I can remember some times when my temper went up and I said some things that were probably not the most kind. But you know what? I always remember afterwards, I was very disappointed in myself. You know, I just did not feel good about the conversation. It was not necessary. And I just am so convinced that this is who God's called us to be. Yes, we speak truth. But if you know the verse, we speak the truth in love. When we correct one another, we do so in love. That's the standard that God has called us to. And of course, that's exactly where he goes in the very next verse. He says, beyond all these things, even on a higher level than all of the incredible stuff we were just reading in verses 12, 13, and 14. I'm 12 and 13, excuse me. Even on a higher level than that, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And of course, that's what we talked about last week, is how we're created. God is love, and so we're created to be like him, created to be loving people. And we're not just talking about the lower types of love. We're talking about, the Greek word is agape, that incredible, unconditional, unchanging love of God. That's what he wants to see in our lives. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. It's that kind of thing, that kind of supernatural life that can unite you together with others, can unite us all together. He continues in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Sometimes when I'm struggling the most, I just go in and sit down at the piano and start playing chords. I'm learning to play just the chords. I'm not that great at it yet, but you know, I can play one chord and sing a little bit and play another chord and sing a little bit. I just go in and start singing. You know, praise God. Thank God that he's in my life. Thank him that he's in your life. And that this world is not the goal. There's a better goal in mind. Let his peace fill you. I love where, if you're reading the Gospels, Jesus says to his disciples, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And so Jesus' peace, you know, the peace that they saw him display in all of the crazy situations that they were in, up against the Pharisees and up against demoniacs and up against huge multitudes of people that didn't have enough food to eat. And they saw Jesus' peace because he's trusting his heavenly Father. Let his peace rule in your heart. Live like Jesus. So each morning, I think we should be asking the question, where is Jesus working today? Each evening, where is Jesus working today? Every situation, how would Jesus love and be at peace in this situation? And you know, I think personally that if we ask him and we are really willing to join him there, he just might tell us the answer to those questions. You know, if I'm just kind of going through, you know, if I'm not serious, I don't know if he's going to tell me or not. But if I mean it, I will let my feet hit the ground and I'll be willing to follow him, I believe he just might tell us. I'd like you to look at one more thought. The second L, we've talked about focusing on Christ, being undistracted by the world, living like Jesus. The fourth letter, the L there, stands for loving his words. Loving his words. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The word of Christ, let it richly dwell within you. You know, if something weakly dwells within me, it has very little influence in my life, right? Like my French class from high school. No influence in my life. Very weak, very weak. My knowledge of coffee, pretty weak. I still do not drink coffee. But if something richly dwells within me, then it takes roots and it becomes very influential, right? It becomes very influential. And so we're to let the word of God, the word of Christ, be like that in our lives. as I love Jesus' words and live them out and share them with others and thank God for them, I believe they change me. You know, I have heard that you can, you know, if you, I forget how what the percentages are, like 90% of what you hear, probably more than that. You know, it goes in this ear and it goes out the other ear, so as the expression goes, and there's no influence on our lives. But if we take in God's word, we thank him for it, we meditate on it, we put feet on it, we go live it out, maybe even we share it with some of our friends, our husband, our wife, our children, our parents, etc., comes and becomes influential. It changes us. And of course, that's why God gave us the book. So I believe, brothers and sisters, that if we do all these things, okay, if we're focused on Christ, if we are undistracted by the world, if we are living like Jesus, if we are loving his word and sharing those things with one another, that it will make us the faithful people God's called us to be. That we will go further than we ever dreamed we could go. You know, back when I told you that story about me in the car and I got so mad at that preacher, really I got so mad at him because, you know, I was trying all, working so hard to do all these little things, but I had these big things over here that God was asking me to do that I was scared to death to even try. You know, the idea would come into my mind and I wouldn't even consider it. It was just, I can't do that. And so that was stopping me. It was like a roadblock in my Christian life. But God wants to take you and me further than we've ever dreamed we could go. And I think if we trust him in these ways, he'll do that. Well, let's pray together. Dear God, I just want to thank you so much again for this book. And Lord, I thank you for these dear friends, the privilege we have of sharing these things together, Lord. Father in heaven, I just pray for myself, dear Lord. I don't want to stay where I am. Lord, I thank you for where I am. I thank you, great God, for bringing me to know you and for helping me to grow. But Lord, I want to keep on going. And I pray for that in my life and in the lives of my friends, my brothers and sisters here in Christ. I pray that for all of us, Lord. Help us keep growing. Help us keep going in this journey of the Christian life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.